just want to just. Am I on? Are my slides on? Talk amongst yourselves a moment. Excellent. Contact. So, we have all sorts of contact, I guess. Kemi and, by the way, children, you're staying in this morning. Did you know that? But here's the deal. If you're really, really quiet and well-behaved, you'll be allowed to take part in the egg hunt after the service. Any naughty child or noisy child will be banned from the egg hunt. Okay? Neil is taking notes on the naughty children. He's got a pen and paper down here. Okay, so if your name's on there, you can't take part in the egg hunt. Okay, so there are little chocolate rabbits and carrots and packets of golden eggs hidden around, the actual golden eggs. You can eat. You don't have to peel the gold off. You can eat it. Hidden around the room and next door, all right? So if you're really good, you get to take part in that. So, contacts. Parents are delighted the kids are staying in this morning. It means a lot to them. Contacts. We have texts. We have thoughts. We have posts and blogs. We can make calls. We can make emails. We can fax. We can messenger. We can tweet. We can watch TV. We see ads. We can watch films. We can listen to music. We can go on the internet. We have the cinema. There are no end of ways to make contact with things. Loads and loads of ways. Let me tell you about Facebook. Very big in the news at the moment. One person on Facebook connects approximately to 80 different community pages or groups. One person on Facebook, on average, generates 90 pieces of content per week. One person, the average Facebook user, spends 1.5 days a month, on average, surfing Facebook. 36 hours a month going like that. They spend, on average, 6.5 hours texting. In 2004, we bought 674 million mobile phones. In 2016, we bought 4 billion mobile phones. Just think on that. In 2004, we bought 674 million. That sounded like a lot. In 2016, we bought 4 billion mobile phones. There are 2 billion meetups arranged on social media every day. 2 billion. So did you do your courtship by text message, email, phone number? How did it work? Kemi can't answer, but she's texting. And I'll be all as cafe culture has swept around the world. Almost every town and city in the UK has free public Wi-Fi at some point as you travel around. People want contact. I think that demonstrates, doesn't it? People want to be in contact. People want communication. All of this contact. And today, one couple stood here. One couple stood there. And connected right in front of us. They didn't have contact, they connected. Something far more profound happened. See, I can contact my bank. I don't particularly want to build my connection with them. I can contact the council. I don't want to build my connection with the rates department. I just want to pay it and get away from it. But marriage is more than contact. It is a connection and a unity. It's something much, much more profound. Pollster, George Gallup, have you heard of Gallup polls? Yeah. Right, mainly known for all the kind of statistical things and getting the general elections kind of a bit wrong, right, sometimes. But they've just done a huge survey and found that people are lonelier than ever before. There's never been a point in history, they reckon, where people have never been more lonely than right now. In the midst of our busy lives, overcommitted schedules, congested cities, we feel alone. We drive on overcrowded roads, sit in traffic jams. I live in Darton. I've spent like the last 3 months sat in a traffic jam with the roadworks. We sit on airplanes going on holiday. Who's done that? Next to somebody. Do you speak to the person next to you? Morning. Good on holiday? Well, it's a holiday flight. I really hate them. Where are you going? I have actually been asked on an aeroplane, where are you going? I've always wanted to say something like, Magaluf, where are you going? I thought we're on a Tenerife flight. I was on an aeroplane flight recently. And the pilot came over, we'd just taken off, and he said, just want to welcome you aboard, we'll be flying at this sound of speed, and we should be landing in, where did he say, is it Athens or somewhere like that, we should be landing in Athens, we're not going to Athens. And everybody in the airplane went, 360 people all drew breath at the same time. And we drink in noisy cafes, we go to noisy places. And yet people are still lonelier than ever. Having access to people is not the issue for most of us. Most of us have access and contact with people. We live and we work surrounded by people, but yet still people say they're lonely. We can come to church with 150 other people on a Sunday morning and we can feel, somebody's not looking for chocolate. And feel lonely. Why? Because we're in contact, but we're not connected. And in this new series, this is a very short sermon, by the way. In this new series, we're going to be exploring the concept of connecting with people. We have written on the side of our building, connecting real people to real God in real life. And that's incredibly important. We don't just want contact with people. We want to connect with them. We don't just want to connect them with us. We want to connect them with God in their real lives. So connecting is so much more. There's something more than just contact. Are we living up to our destiny? Are we doing what God has called us to do? How do we live in our your kingdom come lifestyle? How do we live as his people? These are all the things we're going to explore in the next few weeks as I speak. It's a faith journey of connection. Connecting to who we are in God, connecting to all that he has for us, connecting into his call, connecting to our identity. But most importantly, building connections with other people that they can find that real life living, that they can discover who God is. In the beginning, it says in Scripture, in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God. By the fourth word, you've got to be moving in faith. In the beginning, God. That's the moment where faith begins. So this whole series is going to be about faith. It's going to be about connecting with God. The whole of the Bible isn't about contact with God. It's about God building a connection with people. That's the faith journey we're on. And all that finds its completion in 3 days. 3 days of a cross and crucifixion, of a battle at the gates of hell, and arising again to victory. That's a transforming 3 days. That is God determining that I will build a connection with these people that nobody can break. That is what the Lord does. That is what the Lord did. And that's what we're going to be about. It says in John chapter 1 verse 4, in the beginning the Word already existed. He was with God and he was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Life itself was in him. This life gives light to everyone. That's talking about Jesus. And his light gives light and life to everyone. So that isn't just a contact. That's connection. That's so much more. That's life-giving and life-breathing. That's where we're about this morning. Everything begins with God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. So connection can be made. Unity can be found. A relationship can be built. When we sit around and discuss the Trinity, how many of you sit around and discuss the Trinity? You mean it's not? You don't just sit down, have a coffee, and say, hey, let's have a coffee and discuss the Trinity? Me and Neil do that all the time. All the time. When we sit around and discuss the Trinity, last night we stumbled on The Shack on Netflix, and we watched The Shack, and it fried my brains. Brilliant, in a weird kind of way. And very cheesy, but fascinating concept of the Trinity. But look, when we relegate the Trinity to just a theological discussion, we're missing out on what the heart of that is. The Trinity is a picture of life, of community, of relationship, of joy, of love, of being. It's God existing in a connected community. God in community. That is the heart and essence of who God is. Being together, being community. Some people think that God made people because he was lonely. I used to think that. God was floating around on a cloud by himself feeling lonely. God existed in community. He didn't make us because he was lonely. But out of the sheer joy and wonder of community, he said, I want more creation to enjoy this. And made us. So we are born out of the joy of community. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The coming community and connection enables the cross to be endured and our salvation to be secured. And that new life is a foundation of joyful unity. So even in the joy of creating us, he knew that he would have to endure a cross, but the community it would bring would be worth it. The joy is recreation of the connection between us and God that the cross restores. That's what we celebrate at Easter, the opportunity to have that connection recreated. We're created in the image of God. Did you know that? We are created in the image of God. That's why we want contact with things. That's why we want to communicate. That's why we want to be together. It's why we build cities. It's why we join up. It's why we have phones. It's why we email. It's why we text. It's why we Facebook. It's why we message. It's why we blog. Because we're created in the image of God and we want to communicate and we want to be in a relationship. We want to be touching. It's what we are. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make human beings in our image and make them to reflect our nature. This means you are relational. And you need to connect. That explains our desire to be, to talk, to know, to share. We need to express ourselves to belong. It's greater than a partner of any kind. It isn't an isolation or seclusion. See, being married is the most wonderful picture of a God community. Because that is Christ and his bride. It's a coming together. A being one. Scripture actually says one flesh. It's a complete unity and a complete harmony. So we are privileged this morning that this couple have been prophetically enacted the Easter story. And they've brought together a bride and a groom. And so thank you. You've kind of proclaimed Easter over us this morning in a prophetic act. That is a picture of God's heart. See, our world can isolate us. Anybody here ever felt isolated or lonely? Wow, those of you that have never felt isolated and lonely, the microphone's here, if you can just come and begin to shepherd. The world can isolate us. It's the very opposite of all that God intends for us. You see, what our enemy does is create a shadow of what God wants. See, God wants to communicate and touch and to talk and to belong and to be part of. So Satan can create an image of that in the world that is a shadow, that isn't a real thing, that isn't a real deal. Christ takes the counterfeit of contact and replaces it with connection community. He places us into community. He calls it church. You know, I love the fact that when we get saved, we don't just get saved into a relationship with Jesus. We get saved into his church. Yeah. And all these grumpy people on Facebook that say, oh, I love Jesus, but I don't like his church. No. Then you don't know who Jesus is. Because he's absolutely besotted with his church. She might have warts and a funny walk, but he loves her to bits and he's making her beautiful and he adores her and he gave his life for her and he continues to pour himself into her. So I love the church, wherever it might meet. I don't care if there are five old ladies meeting in some little old Methodist church down the road. They love the Lord and the Lord loves them. They may not be walking into all that he wants. I don't care what badge is over the door. I don't care whether it says St. Engelbert's or Hope House or the Third Primitive Wesleyan Baptist Church or whatever it might be over the door. It doesn't matter. If there are people there that love and know the Lord, then he loves them dearly. He loves them dearly. And we are part of that church. I've got to be honest, there are times I'm glad I'm a right hand or a left hand and not, you know, like I'm happy being what we are. But I do understand we are part of the body of Christ. Yeah. Many people in our house, in our society, don't leave their house. Has anybody here ever ordered pizza online? Oh, we've got the pizza online, people. You didn't even have to make personal contact. You didn't even have to phone up. Have you ordered pizza online? Oh, your mummy's now looking at your daddy and saying, when did you do that? I think I've just caused a problem in the household. Kids give us away all the time, don't they? You can order anything online. I no longer need to go shopping. I can buy it online. I can do my groceries online. I don't need to interact with a person. If I do go to the supermarket, I can go to the self-service aisle and not actually have contact with a human being. Oh, my entire sermon undermined in one statement. We can get so caught up in our schedules and isolation that we never realise we're disconnected from people. We have contact with people, but no connection. You know, one of the favourite things, and I know it embarrasses Julie, but I love chatting with people in shops. If I'm buying a card or a cup of coffee or just paying for my milk, and just talk to the person. I promise you, talk to the person and watch their face come alight. And if they're doing that kind of, smile at them and carry on being positive. And watch them melt with frustration. Look, one or two things happens. It's either really pleasing that you've wound them up when they're being grumpy and you're being happy. But 99 times out of 100, they like the connection. Do you want to be salt and light in the world? Bless people. Just value them as a person, first of all. It's what God did with us. God said it wasn't good for man to be alone before the fall. Sin did not exist before God said it's not good for man to be alone. Before the fall, he wanted us to be together. He wanted us in contact and connection. There's a God-shaped void in all of us that only God can fill. But there's also a relational people-shaped void as well that all of us need. We have to be with people. That is how God fills that void. We're not only created for a relationship with God, but we're created for a deep, meaningful relationship with other people. If you think being a Christian is all about Jesus and nothing else, you've missed the point. In John chapter 20, it says this, "But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she knelt to look into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there dressed in white, one at the head, the other at the foot, where Jesus' body had been laid. They said to her, 'Woman, why do you weep?' 'They took my master,' she said, 'and I don't know where they put him.' After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, 'Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?' She, thinking he was the gardener, said, 'Mister, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him.' And Jesus said, 'Mary.' Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, 'Oh, I'm filling up.' Rabboni, meaning teacher. Jesus said, 'Don't cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them.'" Jesus turns her contact into connection with him. It's beautiful. She's isolated. She makes contact with him. But then he turns that contact into a connection, to a relationship. And best still, then he says, "Go. Go." He puts purpose into our life too. See, God exists in community and we are called to exist in community with other people. There is a God-shaped void in you, but there's a people-shaped void too. And Jesus knew that for Mary. On the morning of his resurrection, what did he want to do? He wanted to be with her. He wanted to be around her. They were, "Wow, come, look at this. Look at what. Look, this is amazing." But he says, "You need to be with people." He builds a connection with her and he connects her with other people because he's going to the Father and he knows that we need to be together. We need to be there for each other. We need to support one another. We need the Holy Spirit's presence in connection together. On his resurrection, Jesus deals with both. He connects Mary to himself and then connects her to the disciples. Union with Christ, unity within his community. Do you get that? Union with Christ demands unity with his community, the church. The most important word of all when he speaks to Mary is go. Go and connect. Go. It's a Jesus word. Go be like Christ. Connect to Jesus. We live a life with Jesus that demands we live a life with people. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 says this, "Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives." I'll be honest, this is for you. Go all out in your love for your wife. Exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving. Are you listening, husbands? All the husbands that shouted yes then. A love marked by giving, not getting. Yeah, you can cook dinner and wash up this afternoon. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favour, since they're already one in marriage. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church, and this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honour her husband. I also believe it's a great picture of how we serve one another, and how modelling the relationship of Christ, we go out into the world and connect and love with people. When we see the church as a bride, we begin to see the total connection between ourselves and Christ. I want to be loved how Christ loves the bride, so I want to be in the bride. I don't want to be the one left on one side not turning up for the wedding. I want to be there. I want to be in it. You know what? You can watch your wedding on a video, but it's not the same. When royal people get married, this is really winding me up. They never invite me. But the Bible says that we are sons of the king, that we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Where's my invite? My father's bigger than your father, and I have yet to be invited. Watching it on telly is not the same. We want to be in contact with Jesus. We're invited to the wedding. It's more than contact. It's a connection. It's being one. This new unity between husband and wife, between Christ and his bride, doesn't end there. Its fulfillment is in growing and reproducing and being fruitful, going into all the world. Mary was sent to bring that connection. The apostles and ourselves are told to go and make disciples, to connect real people to real God in real life. I can invite the band back up onto stage. This is going to be the essence of the connection series I'm going to be doing. The Easter story and the parable of this wonderful marriage this morning. Today's speech was about connection, about unity, about growth, about new life, about change. Because when a couple get together, something dies. Something of their old single life ends, and their life going forward is now one of unity. And that is a picture of the cross. Something died so the new unity could be given birth. The moment when God uses, it's the moment God chooses to rescue his people. Something had to die, and he gave himself to die in our place so that we can have life. Our aloneness can be dealt with as we find a unity and a connection with Christ. Our unity and connection is an ongoing picture. It's a parable of the resurrection life of Christ. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And that is true in our lives. That is true for his church. That is true for this world. That his voice, his message, we're told to go and connect people to the truth of Jesus Christ. That is a privilege of this morning. That is the joy of Easter. That connection was won on a cross, but it was sealed at his resurrection. And so we sang a few minutes ago, I believe, because I believe. We believe it. It is the truth. And now we get to live life. So thank you, Abiola and Kemi. Thank you for your prophetic example this morning of a wedding. Thank you for all that brings to us. We pray God's blessing on you. We trust God for your future, that you'll be fruitful. Let's worship the Lord. Father, we pray that you would help us to build connections, that we would connect with one another, we would serve one another, but that we would connect with this world outside of this building. That whether it be a person in a queue, in a shop, a colleague at work, a family friend or a neighbour, we would bring a godly, joyful connection. Lord, you are joyful and you fill with excitement at the prospect of being connected. Lord, we pray that you would connect with us and help us connect with others as you say, go. Carry who I am into this world. Lord, would you bless us? We ask in the name of Jesus that we will be your people, faithful. Amen.
cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed body, bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all Lord our God, oh,
died for us. And not just that you did that either, but that you overcame sin and death. You overcame it. You did all the heavy lifting. You got the top side of sin and death. And Lord, you raised the dead. Lord, we remember those words that Paul read. In the other Gospels it says, he is not here. The angels say, he is not here. He is risen. Thank you, Lord, that you are risen. But after that terrible, terrible, horrible, awful Good Friday, Sunday came and you rose again from the dead. Thank you, Lord. You rose again from the dead. That you will return. We're going to sing that fourth verse again, the robes of white verse. Lord, thank you. You will return and we will join you. Let me cycle around to it.
Shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night. I will rise above the saints. These breath of Jesus' face.
Everyone, thank you. Oh, thank you guys for sharing such a fantastic day with us, for wanting to come and be part of that family that Paul was preaching about, to be part of that togetherness, to be part of that connection. Thank you so much for wanting to do that with us. That's just what an incredible blessing. To want to do that, to say, do you know what? It's not enough that I did it in a town hall. I want to do it in front of God's people. I think we need to give another round of applause here. Come on, guys. Well, that's normally we say we have another service at 6 o'clock, but today we don't. So please go home, connect with your family, connect with your loved ones, connect with people who just want to be with you. We'll have a services again next week. Two services again next week, 10 o'clock and 6 o'clock. If you're new to us, if this just all seemed mad and crazy and you want to know more, we've got a New Connections corner over there. It says New Connections on the wall. Please go and talk to people. But please stay around. Have a coffee with us. Have some. We've got finger food in the back and stuff. Please try not to get too much. There are a lot of us here, so don't stand at the table stuffing your face. But please go and be blessed with God. And all children, you've all qualified to look for chocolate. So go and find the chocolate and scoff the chocolate and then go home and be crackers this afternoon. And also remind you that if you've ordered a t-shirt, today's the day you pay for them or we auction them off, especially if your initials are GJB.